We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. El sonidito, no
fuimos. 3, 2, 1, y... Oh, Crowder, that's our song.
I like this one.
That is our Friday 5 o'clock song. We have gotten situated. We are live. Margaritaville Hollywood Beach Resort, a destination resort and entertainment complex on the legendary Hollywood Beach Boardwalk, or Broadwalk, I should say. A lot of people call it a boardwalk. It's actually a broadwalk because there's no boards out there. Perfect setting to escape the everyday and just chill. The resort features multiple restaurants and bars, a full-service spa, 3 pools, a flow rider, and 3 live entertainment venues. We lucked out with the weather for most of the show. We gave you a little Brock Berlin there on replay in the last segment because we had to move our location. There was some thunder and lightning, and we were in a exposed area. So now we are under cover, and we'll be able to do the remainder of the show, the simulcast, from this location. 5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. We have some special stuff planned for you this hour. Let's quickly get to headlines with Alejandro Solana.
Really quickly here, guys. The Marlins do play game 2 of their 4-game set versus the – or excuse me, series, Crowder, versus the Atlanta Braves tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Zach Gallen is on the mound for Miami. And this came across the wire about half an hour ago. According to Adam Schefter, Antonio Brown, Raiders wide receiver, has told the Raiders that he will not play this season and he will not play football anymore if he does not get to wear his old helmet.
Yeah, I was wondering, does he mean his Steelers helmet? Because I don't think they're going to let him wear a Steelers helmet while with the Raiders. I'm guessing it's one of those helmets where they phase out due to concussion protocol. Like,
exactly what it is.
I forget who we talked to before, but it was like, they've got gradations of helmets. Some are red alert, but you can still wear it. Some are, you know, super safe, and then there's the middle. I bet his old helmet just got phased out.
That's what it was. They call it a Revolution. It's a big-ass helmet. I had to tell the Dolphins and the Gators, I'm not wearing a Revolution. My head is big enough. Now I'm putting a Revolution on my head? Yeah, ain't no way in the hell I'm wearing a Revolution helmet.
We're sitting out here in the rain. You might have just heard a little thunder there. What's the weather officially, Alejandro Solana?
Well, my
1%
weather...
1% chance of rain.
That's a good call there, Crowder. My weather app is saying there's only a 30% chance of rain, but we know that's a lie. Thunderstorms are expected at least for another 2 hours all across South Florida. Drive safely, everybody. Weather's brought to you by Hialeah Park. You can visit Hialeah Park Casino every Saturday to win your share of $10,000 in giveaways, drawings all day long, and it's free to enter. Visit HialeahPark.com if you have any more information.
All right, I told you earlier in the 2 o'clock hour today, Manny Diaz joined me and Crowder, and I promised you I'd replay it in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to get to that. But Omar Kelly, who covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel, he's here because he was going to participate in this Flow Rider competition, and the rain came in, and he was unable to do it because they shut it down. They shut down the beach. There is some thunder and lightning, as I said, in the area. So Omar, the consolation prize is sitting around having some drinks, some food, and enjoying the Landshark Bar and Grill up here.
Brought my son and my his little cousin, so we was ready to party.
All right, so let's just talk a little Dolphins with you because we always talk Dolphins with you, and as long as we can't ride you for what happened on the Flow Rider, we don't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to whoop Hollywood's you know what. That's what was going to happen.
You go. And it's always going to remain a mystery.
Now he gets to carry it on for another whole year. Like, yeah.
Let me ask you, though. You saw the Dolphins game last night. Crowder's talked about his observations from Josh Rosen, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Uh-huh. Obviously, we saw Preston Williams. I mean, that dude balled out.
Mm-hmm.
For us Hurricanes fans, it was nice to see Mark Walton score a touchdown. Like, there were some things at play. That number 40, Nick Needham, I was feeling bad for him by the end of the game. So give me your overall thoughts first, though, Omar. Like, if I told you, give me some overall thoughts on what you saw last night.
It was better than I expected coming off that 18-penalty scrimmage. I thought they were a little bit cleaner, a little bit more disciplined. I think they showed, because you saw the starters was playing. There really aren't any starters. I can tell you there are three defensive starters on this team. There's Xavier Howard, there's Bobby McCain, and then there's Jerome Baker. Everybody else plays in a situation. And so you saw them rotating everybody playing their role in their situation. And, it looked enticing. I saw a little bit of pressure on the quarterback. He wasn't delivering sacks. I saw some pressure. I was like, okay, you got some people that can get some pressure. I can tell you, as the number one, I sit in my throne as the number one Josh Rosen critic of America. I think he is moving and progressing and getting to the point where I might be able, if we see another steady week of this, say he is a competent starting quarterback in the NFL if he continues to progress on this path. He's still reading defenses slow. He's still struggling to, Crowder, as a middle linebacker, you show him something, then you take it away from him.
Yes.
Yes, that gets him every time. So he needs to cut that down, learn the offense a little bit more, speed up progression. But he is eating off the Preston Williams plate. And that joker right there, I mean, we saw things that teased us in OTAs, and I was just like, I'll wait till they put pads on. Then they put pads on. He had a quiet first week, and then he started to perk up. And then that scrimmage, he was just like, okay. You was waiting till the game. And he has developed a great chemistry with Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen is leaning on him. And I think I said this previously talking to Joe. I know we worked with Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall was trying to get me to come out there and look at him because Brandon's like, yo, he good.
Yeah.
And I think Brandon taught him the little finer arts of pushing off, which was Brandon was a specialist at. And I've watched him for the past two times, the scrimmage, and then, if you watch some of his plays, he pushes off.
Oh, he pushes low, too. He pushes the hip. Oh. He don't go up in the shoulder and the head
It's very subtle. Yes. It's very subtle. It's an art to pushing off in the NFL. And the refs see it, but they're going to let it slide because it's not blatant, and everybody knows they want offense in this league. And right now, I can say he is by far the best rookie that the Dolphins have on the team.
The offensive scheme was something else that impressed me. I know it's very vanilla right now, but just the lining up and then resetting and then motioning back and then resetting.
It's like, complicated.
It's complicated. I remember when Rosen said that it's like drinking out of a fire hose. Last night I saw it. Have you seen that, the whole progression? Because I was explaining earlier, when you do that, you make the defense show their hand. It give the quarterback a lot of information with all that stuff.
And then you get your keys, and then you know what's your read and what's your hot and what's your primary. Yes, and it's moving a little too fast for him now. Maybe in a month, 2 months, really, I think it's going to be 2 months, it won't be moving too fast for him. Fitzpatrick's got it.
Yes.
And he can't play 20 decades in the league and, it's your second run in that offense and not have it. But it's a very complicated, and we always say, why does Patriots have so much success? And yes, Belichick gets a lot of credit. Yes, Tom Brady gets a lot of credit. But Tom Brady's running offense. He's run for 19 years. You know how hard that is? The thickness and complex, pros who have been pros and Pro Bowlers like Chad Johnson could not get that offense.
Yeah.
And the defense, just watching Brian Flores, it is the exact same defense the New England runs. Mm-hmm. And I've always struggled to figure out, I can't get it. What are they doing? What? Like, Rob Ninkovich is a contributing player. And now that I see it with Miami's talent, I'm like, I get it. You're not asking Channing Crowder to play 50 snaps and do heavy lifting and cover the Dallas Clarks of the world.
Had to do that, right? I saw he was headed that way.
Had to throw one.
You're not asking Channing Crowder to do the things that he is not good at.
Yes, yes.
You are putting Channing in a position to play 33% of the games, asking him to play at his strengths, and maybe if there's an injury, you say, okay, Channing, you're going to have to go cover Dallas Clark. We just going to have to survive.
Oh, Lord.
Omar Kelly is with us. He covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. I promised everybody Manny Diaz this hour because I know a lot of people, we don't have the simulcast in the 2 o'clock hour, so I want to get to it. So quickly, before we run out of time, Omar, The guy that jumped off the screen for everybody watching that game last night was Preston Williams. Is he as legit as he looked last night? Because that dude, you threw the ball near him, he was going to get it.
He's legit. The only question and concern that I have is his intellectual level high enough to grasp an offense as a rookie. I mean, it's one thing to go out there and give you 20 plays that they know you can run, and then it's another thing to throw a whole playbook at you. And a lot of times those are the things that, you know, does he know his hot routes? Like, you know, does he know all of his calls? A lot of times that stuff is a lot and it's intense. But right now they need to throw him in the deep end of the pool. He needs to be working with Ryan Fitzpatrick because I think their best offense might be Devontae Parker until Albert Wilson comes back and Jakeem Grant gets healthy. Their best offense might be Preston Williams and Devontae Parker on the outside and Kenny Stills at slot.
He looked good. No question, right? He was the breakout star last night.
He's looked good since, if you follow my OTA breakdowns, I'll be like, yo, he's got talent. He's got ability. But the thing, I caution people because players like that, sometimes there's intellectual stuff going on. Sometimes there's character stuff going on. And you knew it was character stuff in the draft process, which led to him not being drafted. Like, let's not throw too much on his plate. Let's not have him give him all this stardom right now and all this attention because he might not be able to handle it.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Omar Kelly, read his work in the Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. I'm going to let you.
You do know he's got like a Playboy on his tooth, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
He's a weird little dude now. You know, I go talk to the rookie. He's a weird little guy. He cool, I mean, there's now. He's a cool laid-back dude. But
there's a reason someone with that size and that much skill did not get drafted by a single team.
He's a five-star talent who had to transfer out of Tennessee. It's a reason.
I got it. The police detained me twice and arrested me twice in Gainesville. I'm talking about on the books, went to Tallahassee.
Yeah. We knew you. We knew your past, like, Tanner. We
but
know you.
I still went in the third round, bro. For this dude to go undrafted, it has to be a way bigger book than mine.
I appreciate you for saying that because Tanner had some suitcases. Tanner had to pay some for carry-on when he came to the NFL, and they still took him in the third round.
People were suing me for future earnings.
Yes.
Still, guys that I fought.
And this young man, everybody know he's talented now. He went undrafted, and a lot of teams said, nah, we good.
To not take a flyer in the sixth or seventh round, it tells you something, but I don't care right now. He looked good last night.
Here's what I'll say. The Dolphins organization, they've been doing a hell of a job selling you Mike Gesicki. Now that they can't sell Mike Gesicki to you anymore, you're going to see a whole lot of Preston Williams highlights for a little bit because he's a young player that can get this fan base excited.
All right, let's get everybody ready for some Hurricanes and Florida Gator action. Head coach of the Miami Hurricanes is Manny Diaz. He joined us in the 2 o'clock hour. I'm not going to tell you. We ask him flat out who the starting quarterback is going to be for the Hurricanes on August 24th. I'm not going to tell you whether he answered or not or what the answer was. You're going to have to listen to it for yourself. But I will tell you this, Hurricanes fans, you will love hearing from Manny Diaz because he brings it strong every time. He joined us in the 2 o'clock hour. Manny Diaz, your Hurricanes head coach, is next on Hockman and Crowder. So we are here on beautiful Hollywood Beach. We are at Landshark Bar and Grill. Gorgeous afternoon. The Flow Rider. Oh, look at that. I think that's your son on the Flow Rider right now, Channing.
Hey, look at Lil Chan. Bend
look
your
at
knees.
That. Look at that.
Bend your knees, Lil Chan.
Lil Chan is surfing right now on the Flow Rider. We're at the Margaritaville Resort, Hollywood Beach, having a great time. Did he just wipe out? Oh, he sure did. He sure did.
He got his daddy's balance.
We're just a couple weeks away from the opening of college football season, and it's our Miami Hurricanes, my Miami Hurricanes, and Crowder's Florida Gators. And over the past couple weeks leading up to game day, we've talked with Michael Irvin, and we talked with Gino Toretta. We had Brock Berlin on this week, who was, the facilitator of maybe the greatest comeback in Hurricanes history.
He was going to be respectful till you got him going.
Against you. You were leading that Gators defense. Yeah. What was the lead you had?
33-10.
33-10. Brock Berlin orchestrated the comeback that all Hurricane fans remember. And these guys, Michael Irvin, Geno, Brock Berlin, Crowder, has been reeling, and now I'm coming in with the uppercut right now because Manny Diaz, the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, is going to join us, and I believe he's there. Hello, Coach.
How are we doing?
Very good. I'm getting excited. Are you getting excited? I mean, head coach, and you're going to kick off the college football season in 15 days.
Absolutely. No, we've been having a great training camp, and big scrimmage tomorrow, and really after we get through the scrimmage, we'll really turn our attention to our first opponent.
All right, so let's address the elephant in the room. Would you like to publicly announce right now on Hockman and Crowder who the starting quarterback will be August 24th?
Well, the only criteria right now might be riding the flow rider. You know what I mean? Like, because it'd have to go on to that. You know, we actually had a little fun yesterday. We took the team to a water park over at Tidal Cove up in Aventura and had a great time. And we actually, truth be told, we wouldn't let the guys surf on the flow rider. They had to stay on their knees or on their belly. We didn't want a surfboard flying out and knocking somebody in the skull. So we're trying to keep everybody healthy for the 24th.
Now, it's a little bit noisy out here with the flow rider and the beach and whatnot, so I'm not – did I miss where you announced who the starting quarterback was going to be? Or I didn't – did you address that or no?
You must have. You can go rewind the tape after you hang up with me and find
right,
it.
So you're not going to – you're
But, Coach, you said there's a scrimmage coming up soon. Is that going to be one of the deciding factors, that scrimmage coming up here?
Oh, yeah. We've said tomorrow's – you know, we kind of call them preseason games. Tomorrow's preseason game is really the last major test, and it is the biggest test. This is really the final exam from what started back in, you know, the first offensive and defensive meeting in February all the way through spring practice, the summertime when the guys can do 7-on-7 on their own. And then, you know, the two really were, you know, we're pretty much 2 weeks into practice right now. You know, we challenge everyone to play their best game of their football career tomorrow night. We'll have a fair evaluation of where we are as a team.
Manny Diaz is with us, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. 15 days, they will kick off the college football season against Florida. Should Canes fans, you know, Crowder and I have talked about this. Crowder played for a long time. Should Canes fans take it as a good thing or a bad thing that there's been no decision yet on a starting quarterback?
Well, I would think it's a good thing because we're competing. Right. I mean, to me, the one thing that we felt like we had to reestablish culturally here at Miami was our love for competition. And the fact that, you know, we've got three guys that are competing and are really doing things at a high level in practice. You know, I mean, it would be different if we're sitting there, you know, and wondering how on earth are we going to be able to go with anybody. We've got a hard choice because we got guys that have really improved their game and are really making things happen. You can see, you know, our skill, you know, really starting to show. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think competition is the best coach there is, you know, and that's what's made all the Miami teams of the past as dominant as they were, because if you could survive, you know, the competition on Green Tree practice field, normally what was waiting for you on the other sideline on Saturdays wasn't nearly as fierce. We're not anywhere near that. I'm not pretending like, you know, by snapping our fingers we've been able to recreate that. But at the same time, we are laying the foundation for what this program has always been built on.
And, Coach, that game up in Orlando coming up here on the 24th, I wanted to ask you, how does, like, the home game, away game, we understand home field advantage, away, you know, you get to sleep in your city and all that, Coach. Those neutral site games, does that change the game in any way? Change, you know, how does those neutral site games early in the year, how does that change your approach to them?
Well, let's talk about two things. One, in terms of the lead-up, like you're saying, that was one of the reasons why we went up to Orlando for our spring game, and we stayed in the exact same hotel. We met in all the same meeting rooms, so we'll have some familiarity with the run up to the game. We'll actually be in the same locker room that we were in April, so there will be some familiarity as our guys start to visualize the lead up to the game. As far as the game itself, with the neutral site game, it's a game you have to prepare like a road game because there's going to be crowd noise. It's a very an emotional game. The reference I make to it is almost like an NCAA tournament game, because everything that happens, half the stadium's going to go crazy. And you remember from when you were at Florida playing the Florida-Georgia game up in Jacksonville, you know, so there's those games are very, very emotional. And then you add the fact that it is Miami, Florida, and a bunch of players out there that have known each other since Pee Wee football. It's going to be a very, very, very emotional day. And then, you know, and then the fact that it's an opener, really a lot of times games like that come down to who can just hold their nerve and just focus on just doing their job and not get caught up in all the madness, because it's not a day where anybody's going to need a great speech to get out there and get playing. I mean, everyone's going to be highly, highly motivated to play well. The question is who can handle those emotions, channel them the right way to compete at a high level.
Although I'm sure if you needed a motivational speech, Michael Irvin is one phone call away, right?
We've got a lot of guys that are one phone call away that could give a great speech. That's the cool thing about being a Miami Hurricane. That's a little different from other places.
That Ed Reed Hall of Fame bust. I mean, that's the greatest Hall of Fame bust you've ever seen, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, we had a chance to listen to Ed Reed speak to our guys in the spring. And I mean, I could listen to that guy talk. He could read the dictionary out loud, and I'd listen to him talk all day. He's just amazing.
And Manny, one other thing, another concern, you know, coming into this camp was the trenches on both sides of the ball. You know, Gerald Willis leaving, a bunch of new offensive linemen. So in the trenches, Coach, do you feel confident in your trenches?
Well, I think we're improving. I think offensively with what Butch Berry's done up with our guys up front and things we're doing schematically with Dan Enos, I think our guys up front are improving. I think they sense that. I think it's real. They can just tell by the way that they're competing in practice now. Defensively, we have a standard. You know, we heard the same thing a year ago when Kendrick Norton and RJ McIntosh left, and how are we going to do whatever we're going to do up front, and we ended up having a better year up front than we did even in 2017. So it's Miami. You know, I mean, there's a standard of performance here. There's a way that we have to play, and our kids understand that defensively. We've recruited to that. You know, so when you're talking about a guy like John Ford, who we've been able to develop and we think's got a chance to step up big, or when you think about some of the transfers that we've brought in on our defensive front, and then it's really fun, as you know, to play defensive line when you got three linebackers behind you that have seen everything a college offense can throw at them, and they can play fast, and that actually helps the defensive linemen, because now offensive linemen, they've got to come off their double team sooner and try to react to get a hat on those linebackers, and those guys, they're hard to get a hat on anyway. So we feel good about where we'll be, and that, you know, again, that we haven't got it all solved. We got to go out there and play, but our guys understand that in the openers, those, you know, you got to lean on those guys up front.
Manny Diaz is with us, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. He gave his team a little treat at the water park yesterday in Aventura. And so Crowder and I, we forced our company to give us a little water day today. We're out on Hollywood Beach enjoying the weather. I'm imagining if you take your team to a water park and you're 15 days out from a game, you feel pretty good about where your team is right now, right? Like when you took over, I'm imagining, you know, you go, okay, where do I want to be August 9th with this team? What do I want to feel like this team, like where are they at? So do you feel like they're at where they need to be, or ahead of schedule, behind schedule?
Here's what I was hoping by August 9th. What I was hoping was that our team would say, wow, this is as hard as I've worked since I've been at Miami. We're working really, really hard. We're practicing really, really hard. You know, we've been outside. I mean, the heat index meter we had exploded like 3 days ago. so our guys are working really hard because they work really hard. You know, they should get rewarded for that. And you know, you don't want camp to be all grind. And so you want a chance to reward those guys. And again, that's where we have an advantage. We live in a place that my mind is better than all the other places. Right. It's hard to find a water park in a bunch of these other little, you know, tiny college towns where they put universities.
You ain't
so,
lying.
I mean, you can have one, but it's going to be like one of those, like, you know, above ground pools, you know what I mean, with like the pelican floating in it, you know. So we got better stuff in Miami than other people have. So we should take advantage of it. We should have the best standard of living of any college football team in the country. So our guys get a chance to appreciate the benefits of going to school and, you know, to being the greatest place to live.
Yeah, man, we live where they vacation. Yep. I never lose sight of that. Did you have time to watch Dolphins preseason game last night? I saw Mark Walton score a touchdown, or are you too locked into what you're doing?
No, you know, it's funny, when we got out of meetings a little bit after 10 last night, and I got to watch the final drive, and I saw the highlights of Mark scoring. I saw Jermaine Grace actually get a pick for the Falcons. What a neat story that is for a former Cane. You know, of course, couldn't play his last year, but you know, he's doing a nice job of making a team, and how cool is that to come back to his home stadium and make a pick? I'm sure he had all kinds of family there. So So we're always keeping an eye on our pro Canes for sure. That's why it's a family.
And coach, a well-respected D coordinator, you know your stuff works. But like Hawk saying, if you watch an NFL game, do you ever see a blitz or something and say, let me throw that in the playbook for this Saturday?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it may not be quite that drastic, quickly of a turnaround, but whether it's the off season or, you know, we all go visit, you know, professional teams in the off season. So the idea of professional development, it never ends. You know, as you know, we're not always defending the same style of offense. Some of what's happening in college is working its way into the professional game. So there's not always the same as, but also, you know, this, it's not necessarily about the fancy blitz or the fancy coverage. If it was, everybody would do it. It's about the style you play with, the intensity, the effort, and the toughness you play with. And if you have those things down, those fancy blitzes, they tend to work a lot better.
You want to trash talk Crowder a little bit? You know, we're 15 days out. Michael Irvin trash talked him. Gino Toretta, Brock Berlin. You want to add some fuel to the fire?
Nah, Crowder's been on his best behavior. I've noticed. You know what I mean? He's been sitting there. You know, and you know, he's been playing all nice. You know, and, you know, I feel like it's probably a big setup, but that's okay. But you know, no, we look. It's going to be. Let me say this. Anytime any of the big three get together, it should be a really big deal. And if we're all doing our jobs right, we all get this thing the way it's supposed to be, these games should determine who plays for the national championship, because that's how it was. That's how I remember it. That's how probably you guys all remember it. Well, I don't know about Crowder remembers it, but maybe when he's a kid, it should be that way. And it's not that way for various reasons. And I know, I'm sure Dan Mullen wants it that way. I'm sure Willie Taggart wants it that way, because we should all be showcasing, in my mind, the greatest state in America for high school football, and that's the state of Florida. So anytime we get together, it should be a big deal, and it should really showcase, you know, what we're all about in the state.
Hey, Coach, talking about the neutral site games, you made me think about it when you're talking about the Georgia-Florida up there in Jacksonville, because the energy, man. Coach, I remember guys that I trusted to play against Western Michigan and Central Tennessee, and then we go to play Georgia in Jacksonville, and I just look at their eyes and see, this is too big for you. This energy is too big for you. How do you prepare, especially a lot of your young guys that have to contribute? Is there any way of preparing them for that atmosphere you were talking about earlier?
No, that's a fascinating. It's a great question, because, you know, we're college football. Imagine, you know, we don't get to play Western Michigan first, right? I mean, that's the opener. So you're in a practice setting, and then you go to maybe the most intense environment that you will play in all season long. So you're right. I mean, all you can do is try in your off season workouts. You can try to do in your practice. You can try to create enough adversity to find out who's going to blink, who's going to get wide eyed. And who you can't trust. And that has been really one of the main goals of our entire offseason. Because I refer back to the LSU game a year ago, very similar environment in Dallas. Canes fans turned up in Dallas. And end of the first quarter, I think we've outgained LSU by 20 or 30 yards. It's 3-3. We've missed a field goal to go up by 6-3. And then LSU hits us with a right cross. They score a touchdown run. And then we just drop our gloves. And for the whole second quarter, they're just hitting us in the kidney, and we're not punching back. And that's exactly what you're talking about right there. So we have made a big deal about our team. And the number one thing I want to see on the 24th, I want to see a team that just competes. And no matter what, I expect these are both two good teams. I expect both teams to land punches, but I expect our team to continue to throw punches. And that has not been our MO in the past. And that is the thing I'm most curious about. Have we got that resolved? And generally speaking, as you know, you just call it, Chen, it's not going to be every guy, but you got to have more guys that are throwing and more guys that are swinging. Cause all of a sudden when some guys start to hide in the game, that's when it goes bad. And we have tried hard to highlight and eliminate the guys that hide in those settings from our program.
Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. Good luck on August 24th. It's a Canes thing. Crowder wouldn't understand. And hopefully we'll talk to you after that with a 1-0 record. Thank you, Coach.
Guys, thanks a lot, and enjoy your day out there on the beach.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Manny Diaz.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.